No, I've been looking for him. Ray, I'm sorry, I haven't found him. But who I have found, our missing legal eagle, Gavin Steinhubel. He's been out of action for a few weeks. He's back. And time for a bit of a banter, a bit of a moment on a Wednesday morning with coffee. He comes bringing coffee in hand. He's always welcome in the studio. Thanks, Gavin. How you doing?
Yeah, good to be back, Mike. You know, it's one of those things when you travel. I really enjoy travel, but I also enjoy the moment when you touch down at home and you kind of, you know, everything becomes familiar again, the people become familiar.
Yeah.
Although I must say, we customs at the local airport at King Shaka decided they were just going to make everyone open their luggage.
One of those days.
And, one of those days when you've been in transit for 24 hours and you know your taxi's waiting in the driveway upstairs and you just want to get home and... You know, you've been wearing the same clothes for 2 days, and now somebody wants to, ruffle through your 3 weeks' worth of dirty underpants and socks, you know, to find nothing.
You know what? It's their loss, really. But well done for surviving all of that. And I believe it was quite an interesting experience. Your first time heading off to Japan.
Yeah.
For an eye-opener of note. And I know you didn't quite know what to expect, having never been there before. Did it exceed expectations as a destination?
I think, well, one of the things is we wanted to go skiing this year, and we normally head north to Europe, but I've got in-laws in as all of us probably do now in Australia, and for them Japan's sort of where they go skiing. So I was reluctantly, it's my wife's sister and my brother-in-law, and I was sort of a bit reluctant. It's out of my comfort zone. I didn't know if the skiing would be rubbish or if the après skiing would be any good. I didn't think I'd like Asian food, you know, the usual. Off we go and let's do this. And I must say, Japan's a very, very impressive place. It's got impressive people. We've got a 10-to-1 in our favor exchange rate with them.
Really?
Yeah, but in truth, on the ground, if you're going to go and just have a meal and so forth in a ramen shop or that kind of thing, street food and so forth, you're basically spending what you do here.
Obviously, so it's comparable.
If you go to a Western restaurant and you want to eat Kobe beef or something, you're going to pay R1,000 a steak. We didn't do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can go to Cape Town and you can pay. That's
we've got better steak here, and it's well priced. Thank you, Wazza. I quite enjoy. I quite enjoyed the fact that there's a bit of parity on the exchange rate, and you're not too badly off. You haven't got a nosebleed where you don't want to order a beer or you don't want to have a meal. So in that way, it was good. The skiing was exceptional. The Japanese just have a different type of snow, like a very dry snow, and they get a lot of snow, so they don't use snow cannons. So the skiing is world-class. I've been skiing for almost 30 years, and I must tell you that I'll be almost reluctant to go ski anywhere else now.
I'm
a complete convert. And it's not often you go to a country that's got a completely different culture to yours. You know, most countries are fairly homogenized now. You know, they're almost Anglo-centric, and all the shops are almost the same, whether you're in London or Madrid or Paris or whatever. But you go over there, and everything is different. The food is different. The food's really excellent. I was surprised at how much I liked it. And then they've obviously got a very fascinating history. We did on the first week, we did all of the shrines and the Buddhist temples and the palaces of all the, you know, the emperors that they've had over time. And as you kind of get a little bit into their culture, which is a very, very fascinating culture and a very old culture. But I think the thing that stood out to me is the average Japanese person is a highly civilized human being. They're extremely considerate of each other. You don't see anybody eating in the streets. The streets, I mean, Tokyo is one of the busiest and biggest cities and most densely populated cities in the world, and there's not a piece of paper on the streets, you know.
Amazing.
Everything is just works, and it's so well run, and they're really helpful people.
And as a tourist, did you feel like the hospitality and the sort of welcoming vibe towards tourists was pervasive?
So one of the things that I found is, like, most Japanese don't really speak English. They'll try and be helpful, but there's always somebody with an earshot who speaks English as well as you and I speak, you know. So they'll try and help you out. And
you're
so
looking
forth.
For directions or something.
But, and they understand that tourism is a big part of their economy. You know, they've got I don't know if the yen is artificially kept low, probably for their exports and so forth. Mm. But they've got a very favorable exchange rate. And so a lot of, especially people like from Australia, a lot of guys skiing there from Colorado, and it's not that far from the States.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's I was surprised at how many Westerners there are. They always thought that Japan's quite an isolated, inward-looking country, and they don't really like foreigners there, but that's not true at all. I think for a South African, bang for buck, especially if you like skiing, it's really, really good. Wow. Really, really good. I can highly recommend it.
Just a long flight. That's the only thing you've got
to
continue.
Yeah. I think we flew to Dubai and then across Asia to Japan. They both were long flights, 8 hours and then 10 hours. The four-hour layover, but at the end of the day, wherever you go, you're going to have the discomfort of air travel. These days, I just find if you drink lots of water and try and get a bit of kip and watch the movies and so forth, before you know it, you're there. You know, it's not often you just get to sit around. You know, most of our lives we're chasing something, so this is a bit of enforced R&R. I read more than half a book that I took along, and
good on you.
Yeah, but only on the flights and the trains. Yeah, the trains are good. I mean, that bullet train is quite impressive.
Yay.
I can't remember how many kilometers per hour it does, but it's something around the 300 mark or something. It's ridiculously fast. And then, so they're just huge distances it covers in no time at all.
Amazing.
So, I'm very impressed. It reminds me of kind of the way I used to feel about Europe, say, 15, 20 years ago, where, you were just so overwhelmed at how well things worked and how clean things are and how well-behaved people are. And, that's all gone because of the,
we don't have to get into all of that.
Unchecked stuff. But this is still a well-preserved culture and society, and everything runs well. It'd be good for us, to take a leaf out of a book like that. I don't know if South Africa will ever get to that level of civil, civility amongst its populace and so on. But it's something to strive for, and I was really impressed. Travel is something that really opens your mind, even though you think you've already got an open mind.
Yeah.
You
know? I heard Trevor Noah talking about it. He was quoting someone else, I think, but he was saying that, it's the one thing that no matter how much you spend on it, you always end up sort of richer for the perspective you get.
Mark Twain said travel is you can't travel. Travel is the killer of all prejudice. Because wherever you go around the world, I think I mangled that quote, but you get the idea. Wherever you go in the world, you realize that essentially human beings all want the same thing. They want prosperity, they want security, and they want their freedom.
There you go. Actually, this is a nice note to be kicking off a Wednesday on, with a dose of perspective and commonality. And now that you've returned from a completely different corner of the globe, back on home soil, quite a bit's been happening in the last couple of weeks since you've been out of here.
I think one of the things I saw now when I got back, I only really was effectively back yesterday, is I noticed that the Kurileni municipality effort to expropriate Driefontein Farm without paying any compensation to the landowners, Kurileni municipality have suddenly reversed and abandoned the matter, which is a pity, because I think it would have been nice to get a judgment, which inevitably we would have got, and that is that the Constitution doesn't permit that. And so they withdrew it for tactical reasons so that they can sort of keep the idea alive in the popular mind that this is a possibility in this country. But the reality is, I think even the political will is gone. We've had too many body shots from really stupid ANC moves. And our economy can and will grow this year. Because I think they've made all their blunders already, and I think now it's they're running around and trying to save a bit of face on the Iran thing and so forth. But the truth of the matter is they're a party that have destroyed everything, and most recently our international stature, our standing in the world. And so I think we've hit rock bottom, I think, last year. And I think, if I look at just when I came back, obviously the first thing I'm interested in is how's business been? And yes, it has been. This has been one of the best January starts ever. I think I should absent myself in January more often.
On the property front, eh?
Yeah, it has been. Lots of transactions, lots of bonds approved. I've been kind of watching. I took my laptop with, and I've kind of once a day just logged on and checked what's going on. But I see that January's been a humdinger. It's we never start the year like this, so it's a good sign and a good omen for the balance of the year.
This sort of echoes what I've been reading. I see that according to one of the big bond originators, Uber, talking to MoneyWeb and saying that 2026, in their, in terms of the data they're tracking, it'll see rising demand, higher prices, and a notable surge in first-time buyers. Their lending data, according to Justin Easthorpe, who's the provincial sales manager at Uber, said that the company saw application volumes increase by 9%. What stood out even more was the value of those applications, which seems to be trending upwards.
9% is a significant number. It's a seriously significant year-on-year growth, and it's just indicative. I think a lot of what we saw at the end of last year, and it's bubbling through to this year, was a lot of delayed spending, delayed lending, where banks and that have been sitting on money rather than because of all the economic risks and the wrong messages coming from our politicians. People have thought, well, it might be irresponsible to be in this economy. And I think there's been a couple of climb downs, and I believe that common sense is going to prevail, and that just make, when you've got a market that's under traded like ours, it's so attractive to get involved here, because most countries that are emerging markets like ours have no trouble growing at 4-5%, and we're not even hitting 1%. So I think everybody can see we're underachievers, and that there's money to be made when we make that leap from 1 to 2 or 3 or 4%. So it's good. Our currency seems to have stabilized nicely. Normally, if I leave the country as the plane takes off, the rand crashes and then rallies smartly as we land. But this time it's been the other way around. The rand's been quite strong while we're over there. Easy. So
you went to Japan instead of Europe. Go there again.
Yeah, South Africans should pay me to go to Japan every year. But I think everything's set for a good year. And I also think we got some municipal elections coming up, and that's going to force the ANC, and I see they're already doing it, to suddenly start doing some very basic service delivery stuff they've been ignoring for 30 years, because they've been more interested in pilfering the funds. And we're getting to a stage now where, at least to make a good show at the next elections, they're going to try and do the right thing. They always remind me of, the ANC always reminds me of when Winston Churchill made the comment when America finally decided to join in the Second World War. He said, you can always count on the Americans to do the right thing once they've exhausted all other avenues. And I think the same with the ANC. So there we go.
What a quote for a Wednesday. So you're on fine form, Gavin. You see, a holiday does you good.
A bit of rest.
And it's going to be a cracker of a year. We're going to have lots to dive into. I look forward to getting your informed opinion on the events and the news in the local orbit as they unfold. We're going to be doing this regularly, as per usual. And as per usual, our listeners can pick your brain and get in touch with you for some real legal advice and assistance. You're based at the Kloppers Inc. office down in the Belito Village.
That's right, down in the village, ground floor of the Belito Center. You'll see us there, big red signs. Let's get positive and let's take advantage of this great start we've had to the year.
I like that sentiment. I like that energy. We're going to carry it forward, and we're going to catch up again for another Wednesday chat right here on Radio Life and Style. Gavin, what do you say?
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'll see you next Wednesday. Hey. Same time, same place.
Hey, what do they say in Japan? Sayonara.
There we go.